All right. Well, it's good to see everyone here this morning. I don't know if you guys realize this, but today is our annual chili cook-off. Yeah. So, if you stop just for a minute and just listen and smell, you might be able to hear the chili brewing and the smell of the chili downstairs. And so, right after service today, I'm going to be a little bit briefer than normal. Right after service today, we're going to go downstairs. We're going to eat some chili. And it should be a lot of fun. And so we're going to vote on the best chili. Casey is the two-time reigning champ. And so hopefully today it's number three, right? And so we have some good chili down there. Vernon made some special chili with some mystery meat in it. And so make sure you check out his as well. One other thing that Aaron just messaged me is the ladies are having a Christmas party on December 5th at 7 p.m. It says, come and enjoy the festive cheer, delicious treats, and heartwarming fellowship. So that's right here at the church on December 5th. Hopefully you guys can make it. And then also the first, is it the first or the second Sunday in December 7th, I believe it is, we're having our annual celebration service. And it's a great time where we get together, we talk about all the wonderful things that happened over the year. I think our world-famous trio is going to make a comeback this year, and so we're excited about that. There's going to be catered food downstairs, and so we really hope that you're able to be a part of this special night. We're going to have pictures taken. It's just going to be a great time. So that's coming up. We have a lot of things coming up here at the church, and so we have been going through this series entitled Spiritual Maturity, and we've been taking some time and talking about some different things that are important for us as Christians if we want to grow in our faith. You know, I think it's cool to be a child for a time, but after a time, God calls us to be mature, and He calls us to follow Him, and inevitably, eventually, we have to grow in our faith, and we have to move in our faith, and we have to become more than infants. And so we've been talking the last 4 weeks about being spiritually mature. In Galatians chapter 4, it actually says, but solid food is for the mature who by contrast who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I'm going to read that again. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so, again, we've been talking through some different things over the last few weeks, and today I want to talk about being selfless. Can you guys say selfless?
Selfless.
Say it one more time. Selfless.
Selfless.
Selfless. Can you guys say selfish?
Selfish.
Selfish?
Selfish.
Selfless.
Selfless.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about being selfless today, and so I think it's interesting because I feel like being selfless is not normal. I think a lot of times the natural thing to do is to put ourselves first. You think about whenever there's a group photo and there's a picture that's taken, who do you always look at first? Yourself. Like it can be a great picture, but if it caught your wrong side, or if your eyes are shut, or whatever, like, you want the picture retaken, am I right? Have you been there before? Like, I know Erin is always like, she's not here, she's downstairs. Erin was like, oh, you didn't catch my good side. Take another picture. And I don't know if you guys are there, but like, it's natural for us to kind of look at ourselves first. And I feel like there's even a branch of Christianity right now that is self-centered rather than God-centered. Self-centered rather than God-centered. And I feel like there's this idea of people being self-obsessed, doing what's best for me. It's about me, myself, and I. And I just feel like the focus right now is on the self. And it's interesting because actually in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul is talking to Timothy and he says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. How do you guys believe we're in the last days? Anyone else? Man, I certainly do. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. And so Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's like, hey, listen, this is going to be a sign of the last days. People are going to be lovers of themselves. I feel like we see that all the time throughout society. It's like the selfie is a thing. I don't know. I just feel like being selfish is prevalent. It's all around us. And so we're actually going to be talking from Philippians chapter 2 this morning. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. It says this. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Then he goes on to say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. I'm going to read that all one more time. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one joy, complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Lord, we come before you today, and we thank you that we're able to worship in your presence, God. We thank you that we're able to sit here in the nice, warm sanctuary as it's cold outside, God. And I thank you for the chili that's being cooked underneath us at this very moment. We pray a blessing over the chili and over the cookers this morning, God. But also, God, we pray just a blessing over your message, God. We know that we're not here by chance, but that we're here for a purpose, and that you've brought us here for a purpose this morning in the snow and in the cold. We've come here because we're hungry to hear from you, and we are hungry to see what you have for us this morning, God. And so today, as we talk through kind of verse by verse this passage in Philippians, God, may you just open our hearts to what you have for us, God. May your Holy Spirit come and minister to us. May you speak to us today in your holy name. Amen. Did everyone get a sheet when they came in? A little sheet when they came in? So, point number one, follow along. Selflessness begins with gratitude. Selflessness begins with gratitude. Kind of sounds like a bit of a contrast, doesn't it? Selflessness and gratitude. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this passage of scripture for a minute, and I was thinking about how, I don't know if you've read through the book of Philippians before, but Paul he's writing to the church in Philippi, and he's in chains as he's writing this letter. He's in prison, in chains. I don't know if you can recall, but actually the history of the church that was planted there can be found in Acts chapter 16, where Paul was traveling somewhere, and he had a vision of a man from Macedonia telling him that he needed to go a different way, and so he went to Macedonia, and he preached the gospel there, and there was a lady named Lydia, who was a dealer of purple dye, who became part of the church, and they were preaching, and there was this girl who had an evil spirit, and they cast the evil spirit out of her, and the city got upset, and so they grabbed Paul and Silas, and they threw them in prison. Do you guys know this story in Acts chapter 16? You can read it. So they threw them in prison, and as Paul and Silas are in prison for their faith, and it's kind of interesting because they were in prison not because they were outside of God's will. They were in prison because they were inside of God's will. Isn't that interesting? Like, sometimes you think, if I'm in God's will, everything should be perfect and grand and wonderful, but Here they are in prison because they followed God's direction and God's guidance. And so they're in prison, and they're excited. They're praising the Lord, and they're singing hymns at midnight. And as they're praying and singing hymns at midnight, a violent earthquake hit the prison, and all the doors of the prison broke loose. Right? So it's like, oh my goodness. And so the jailer woke up, and he saw the doors open, and he's like, you know what, I think this is going to be bad for me, so I'm going to fall on my sword and die. And so, but Paul and Silas called out to the jailer, and they're like, hey, we're all here. It's okay. And so the jailer accepted the Lord as his Savior, and also his entire family accepted the Lord as his Savior. And so here in the text, like, you think about this church probably was comprised of Lydia. This church was comprised of the jailer and his entire family. And so this church that Paul had planted on his second missionary journey was thriving. And so he was writing this church again. It was just a new church, just a couple of years old. And he's writing this church, and he's encouraging them because of, you know, he went there and he planted this church and he faced adversity, but God moved in a powerful way, and the city was changed and the people were changed. The jailer was changed and Lydia was changed and the slave girl was changed. And so he's writing back to the church, and he's like kind of encouraging them. And if you look at chapter 1, he's writing them, and he's thanking them for advancing the gospel. And then he takes a little bit of time and he talks about their conduct, and he reminds them to live holy lives towards the end of chapter 1. And then it kind of leads into chapter 2, where so he's talking about I'm thankful for you, and then he goes into watch your conduct. You want to make sure that you're standing, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And then he moves into chapter 2, and he begins talking to them about humility, and he begins to remind the Philippians of the blessings that they have in Jesus. And are you guys thankful this morning that you have blessings in Jesus? Amen? I mean, we have air in our lungs. Amen? We have a beautiful facility that we can hang out in and eat chili in here today. We have, I think about me, I'm blessed with two kids, I'm blessed with a wonderful wife, I'm blessed with a 2005 Ford Focus, I'm blessed with all these wonderful things. And he's like, listen guys, the first thing you need to do when you think about you need to be in, essentially saying, you need to be, he was reminding the Philippians of the blessings that they already had in Jesus. He's like, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any of you guys have encouragement this morning from being united with Christ? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have any comfort from his love, I'm thankful for the love of the Lord. I'm thankful that his love is unconditional. I'm thankful that his love is agape love. It's something where it doesn't matter what I do, he's going to love me anyways. I'm thankful that his love pursues me. I'm thankful that his love is, in the song, reckless. I'm thankful that he is pursuing me. I think of Luke chapter 15 with the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son. I'm thankful for his love. He talks about fellowship with the Spirit. He talks about tenderness and compassion. In other words, he's telling them, you have been greatly loved, and now it is time for you to love others. Being selfless begins with gratitude. Living a life of thankfulness. When we realize how much we've received from God, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, it should be an overflow in the way that we treat others. It should be an overflow in the way that we react to other people. If we're always thinking about ourselves, we don't have time to place others first or to place God first. Man, being selfless begins with gratitude. I'm just kind of thinking of ways that we can reword some things that I have in my life, that maybe some ways that I can reword things. You know, instead of saying, man, God, I need a new car. Aaron wants a brand new Lincoln Navigator. I'm like, honey, those are $120,000. Instead of saying, I need a new car, God, I thank you that I have a car that gets me to work every day. Instead of saying, I need my kids to behave because sometimes they're wild and crazy and yelling at each other, God, I thank you that I have the blessing of having children, and I have the blessing of having a legacy, instead of saying, I need a new house, I want to live out in the woods somewhere and have a lake nearby and a porch that I can shoot my .22 off of, instead of saying that, I can say, God, I thank you that I have a house that has a roof, that has a furnace, that keeps me warm. Instead of saying, Lord, I want a full head of hair, like when I was like 20, my hair was all over the place. Instead of saying that, God, I'm thankful that the gray hairs that I have are numbered by you. Selflessness begins with gratitude. And I want to encourage you this morning to practice the spiritual discipline of gratitude, where we live a life of thankfulness. This is the second point you can write down on your sheet. Our focus shifts from us to him. Our focus shifts from us to him. Instead of asking, what do I deserve? What can I get? We start asking God, how can I serve? How can I give? Because you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You've blessed us. Man, we have encouragement from being united with Christ. We have comfort from his love. We have common sharing in the Spirit. We have tenderness and compassion. God, you have blessed us. You have put the air in our lungs. You have given us a place to belong. God, you have blessed us. Our being selfless begins with gratitude. It begins with gratitude. Our focus shifts from us to him. Being selfless begins with gratitude. If you keep on reading, it's interesting because he takes the next couple of verses in verses 3 and 4 and he makes a contrast. Check it out. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Can you guys say selfish ambition?
Selfish.
Can you guys say vain conceit? Yes. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Do nothing. Okay, so but also to the interest of others. So do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Selfish ambition is the motivation to elevate yourself or put yourself's interest above others. It's interesting, and if you're reading the King James, it might say strife. Strife. Selfish ambition. Have you ever had selfish ambition in your life where you're like, you know what, I just want to, it's okay, you can raise your hand, Joe. I just want to be, yes, let's be honest. Selfish ambition. Vain conceit is this excessive pride or self-esteem that has no foundation of reality. So selfish ambition says, I'll do this if it benefits me. Vain conceit says, I'm better than you. Let me say that again. Selfish ambition says, I'll do this if it benefits me. And vain conceit says, I'm better than you. Both of these attitudes are things that shrink our soul and stunt our spiritual growth. They create jealousy and comparison and division. And some of us are stuck on us, and it's not all about us, and it's not all about you. I'll do this if it benefits me. I'm better than you. I heard this fable once. I heard this fable, this story, of two eagles. One of the eagles was on the ground looking up, and the eagle that was on the ground was looking up. He saw another eagle that was flying, soaring high in the sky. And it was soaring really high, and the eagle looked very majestic. It was flying with its wings out, looked beautiful, looked awesome. Side note, when I was in Minnesota a couple months ago, I think I saw about 12 eagles out in the country. It was awesome. We've never seen them before. At one time, they were an endangered species in Minnesota, and now they're all over the place. In fact, we saw an eagle come down and grab, what was it? Something off the, I don't know if it was a mouse or a rat, came down, grabbed it. It was awesome. I'm like, oh my goodness. Anyways, so eagle's on the ground. It's looking up at this other eagle that's flying beautifully in the air. just beautifully, just soaring in all its majesty and its majestic splendor. And there was a hunter that's by the eagle on the ground. And so the eagle says to the hunter, he says to the hunter, why don't you shoot that eagle down? Okay? And so the hunter says, I'll shoot it. But he said, I need a feather for my arrow. So the eagle plucked a feather, gave it to the hunter. The hunter aimed. And ironically, the hunter was a terrible shot. The hunter missed. The hunter said, I need another feather for my arrow. He missed again. 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 And eventually, the eagle that was trying to shoot the other eagle down had no feathers and couldn't fly at all. And sometimes I feel like that's the way that selfish ambition and vain conceit are, in the sense that you want to take someone else down, and really what's happening is the only person that you're destroying is yourself. But look at it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But then there's this hinge word here. It says, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. There's this, again, there's this, he's giving this contrast, this rather, this hinge word there, selfish ambition, rather, vain conceit. And he's kind of, again, there's a little bit of a, you can see there's this contrast here where on the one side you have that, the selfish ambition and vain conceit, and the other side you have, rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Point number two, selfishness brings death to self. Selfishness brings death. Selflessness brings death to self. Brings death to self. In Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to follow me, he must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Again, this sounds countercultural. In Galatians chapter 2, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. Selflessness brings death to self. You have to die to some things when you come to the Lord. Did you realize that this morning? You have to die to some things. Maybe it's dying to old habits. Maybe it's dying to some old language. Maybe it's dying to the way that you used to be. Maybe it's the death of some of your own aspirations, some of your own dreams. There are some things that we have to die to when we come to the Lord. But he is greater than me. He is greater than me. We didn't come to get, but to give. You know, I was thinking about, really, to be selfless is to value others above yourself. It doesn't mean to think that we're worthless, but it means to honor others and to put other needs first. I was thinking about some practical examples of this. Because, again, I think it almost sounds weird to be selfless, but I was thinking of some practical examples of this. I think to be selfless is, I think of maybe a parent, a dad maybe, who goes to work every day. And they might go and they work every day, and maybe they're working at the factory, and they are working hard, and they're using their hands, whatever. And they do that not for themselves, right, fathers? We don't go and we don't work 40 hours a week for ourselves or 50 hours a week for ourselves. But we go and we work for our families. I think that's selfless. Do you agree with me? Right? I think about when Our kids are sick, you know. Genevieve was sick a few weeks ago, and she got sick late at night, and Aaron was up with her and caring for her, and I was sleeping, of course. But Aaron did that not out of selfishness, but out of selflessness. You know what I'm talking about? My sister, Angela, is a home. She's the only sibling of my five sisters that are home right now. And she's the one that has taken on the responsibility of taking my mom to all of her doctor appointments and knowing all of her medical needs and staying with her when she's sick and staying with her during chemo and helping her with their treatment and just being there for her. And she's like the advocate. I remember when I went to go visit and I went to a doctor appointment, the doctor was asking me questions, and I'm like, I have no idea. And my mom was like, go get Angela. And so Angela came and she was talking, and she knew all these things. My sister Angela was doing that not because of her selfishness, but because of her selflessness. My sister doesn't get anything out of it, but she was being selfless in serving my parents. A mother is being selfless when they're caring for their child. A father is being selfless when he goes to work and he's there all day and doing everything that he can for his kids. God has called us to be selfless. You know what I'm talking about? I was thinking about this because one day, someday, eventually, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe a month from now, maybe a year from now, maybe several years from now, one of two things will happen. Either number one, you'll take your last breath. Or number two, the Lord will tarry. He'll come in the twinkling of an eye, the flash of the clouds. And in a moment, in a minute, in a second, and just we'll be in the presence of the Lord. If you read Revelation chapter 4, it gives a picture of this. It's wild. But it talks about how it really talks about the throne room of the Lord. It says that when you're like the throne room, it talks about how there's angels and there's people from every tribe and every nation and every tongue. It talks about his robe filling the temple. It talks about his majesty. It talks about his splendor. I'm just thinking through some of the things that you read in Scripture. I'm thinking about the heavenly Jerusalem with the pearly gates. I'm thinking about just all the Lord himself being the light in heaven. I'm thinking about here is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. All power and authority is in his hands. Thinking about the lion and the lamb in front of us. I'm thinking about just all the splendor to look upon his countenance. Like Moses said, I want to look at you. The Lord said, you can't handle it, so I'm going to hide you in the cleft of a rock. And so from the cleft of the rock, Moses is just the Lord walking by. Moses shone with his face shone like the sun just from seeing the back of the Lord, just thinking about the presence and the majesty and the power of God in that moment, whether it's today or tomorrow or next month or next year, we take our last breath or the Lord tarries. We're sitting in the presence of the Lord. We're looking upon him in his complete splendor and all of his majesty and all of his glory. And my prayer is that when he looks upon me and when he looks upon you, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. A servant doesn't look to their own needs, but they look to the needs of others. They look to the needs of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Man, in a time where everything is so self-centered, self-driven, self-motivated, man, true joy comes from serving others, and serving the King of Kings. That's what God has called us to. Man, so maybe a question for you to ask yourself as we get ready to sing these songs. How can I be selfless this week? How can I serve with no strings attached? How can I love with no strings attached? Who can I encourage this week? How can I make someone else's burdens lighter this week? Whose needs can I meet that are not my own? Man, the Lord has called us to be selfless servants of Him. You guys can stand up. Lord, we come to You today. We thank You for Your greatness. We thank You for Your splendor. We thank You that we can come into Your presence and that, man, You can speak to us and You can minister to us, God. We thank You that You came and You humbled Yourself to be a servant. And God, we thank You that You have called us to be servants as well. God, I pray this week that we will be people that are servants of others. May we be selfless. May that selflessness start with gratitude for what You've done for us and then end of death to self. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. God, speak to us as we continue to worship.